Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project and a partner in the Gila Conservation Coalition, and I'm your host for today's program. We're bringing to you today the latest on the Arizona Water Settlements Act and Gila River Diversion Planning Process from the Roundhouse, the state capitol in Santa Fe. There are 11 days left in the 2015 session, and at this point, legislators are debating bills well into the night, trying to get through the backlog of legislation. There are over 90 bills related to the environment only under consideration this year. But today, we're going to continue our Roundhouse coverage on Gila River bills that were taken up by the Senate Conservation Committee last week. There was also good news for Grant County and Southwest New Mexico coming out of the Interstate Stream Commission meeting on February 27th. The ISC finally approved $2.1 million in funding for the Grant County Water Commission Regional Water Project. Commissioners also approved a motion to relax the conditions on access to $3 million in AWSA funding for municipal conservation. So we'll be bringing to you today excerpts from the ISC meeting as well. Let's start with the biggest news. A substitute bill for Senate Bill 542 and Senate Bill 455 to require legislative oversight, public participation, and fiscal responsibility in the Interstate Stream Commission's Arizona Water Settlements Act planning process passed out of the Senate Conservation Committee on Tuesday, March 3rd. Sponsored by Senator Sandra Rue, SB 542 was heard first on February 26. There were a few concerns by Senate Conservation Committee members about the complexity of the bill, so it was sent back to Senator Rue to address those concerns. Throughout the discussion on February 27th, Republican Senators John Ryan and William Payne argued that the bill was simply an effort to defeat the Gila River Diversion Project, questioning whether the bill is, quote, truly about transparency or is it truly about that you don't want a diversion. Let's listen as Senator Sandra Rue and his expert witness, former ISC Director Norm Gaum, explain why the bill is necessary to bring transparency to the ISC's Gila River diversion planning process.
All right, members of the committee, Senator Ryan.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, I first recognize, Mr. Gaum, that you picked a good senator to deal with open government and transparency. We call Senator Transparency Rue. He's that good at what he does with regard to different kinds of squabbles. So I commend you for that. But I fear that what's happening, if in fact the ISC has conducted over 200 meetings and believe that they've proceeded under the Open Meetings Act in a responsible way, and maybe we can get into some of the details of that. I think the numbers of meetings, how they presented their information, is important. But I hate to say, but I feel like there's an attempt to, because people didn't get the answer that they wanted in the public meetings that have been conducted, and the information that has been transponded to the public and others, because the decisions about proceeding have gone forward, and we have now indicated to the federal government that we want to proceed with this project, and we want to pursue a potential diversion, that's the real underlining effort, which is to then require additional public meetings, additional requirements, so that the project then can't meet its further deadlines with regard to making a project of a diversion a possibility. And I guess I'll first turn to you, Mr. Gaum, as to whether or not this is truly about transparency, or is this truly about, you don't want a diversion.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ryan, those are excellent questions. The Interstate Stream Commission has expended a lot of time and money conducting numerous public meetings, but in no meetings at any time have they addressed some of the fundamental facts that determine whether a project is feasible or isn't. They have not said how much water would result. They haven't said who would use that water. They haven't said how much that water would cost. The basics, which would need to be disclosed here, and that information is available. It's not like it would take a tremendous effort to pull it together. That information is available, so I would have to disagree with the statement that this couldn't be done. It certainly could be done. And the only requirement in this bill is that before the Interstate Stream Commission acts in the shoes of the state of New Mexico, as set forth in the Arizona Water Settlements Act, that it disclose some very basic features of this project that I think the legislature and the public deserve to know.
Okay, so if I heard you right, Mr. Chairman and Senator, Mr. Gomm, you basically said that they've conducted a number of public meetings, and so they've met the public disclosure transparency issue to some extent, but that what they presented did not satisfy you with regard to how much water there is, what the costs are, where the project would go. So it's more about the detail than it is about how many public meetings they've had. Did they consult with certain people? Did I hear you right in that regard?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ryan, I wouldn't describe it exactly like that. What I would say is that they have assiduously avoided discussion of fatal flaws in order to spend tens of millions more on consultant contracts. I mean, that's the way it appears to me. So this bill doesn't get into those facts. It just says that they have to conduct a process that before they spend huge sums of money, as they have been doing on consultants, that they say it's what the contract that they propose is supposed to do, that they approve it in public. They don't approve any contracts in public. They haven't since 2008. So it would just require basic public access to the guts of their process as opposed to the presentations that they make in public.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senator, I guess you said that they've had a number of meetings. I guess you don't quibble with the fact that they've had some 200 meetings. I think what you're saying then is more that these meetings didn't produce the kind of information that you think needs to be provided before they're to proceed.
Well, certainly, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ryan, the information needs to be provided before they commit tens of millions more to their preliminary design and permit process. They need to, in my opinion, disclose just very basic things and to go through a public process and
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I guess then my question is, the ISC seems to think that there potentially could be the missing of important deadlines if we were to have to follow some of the prescriptions in this bill that outline additional public meetings disposing of information to the public with regard to the details of the project. Do you feel that this bill specifically interferes with the ISC and the Office of State Engineer proceeding with the project? Or do you think we can do everything that you've required within this bill in a timely way in the event that there was a diversion, that they could still do a diversion? It's not about a diversion to you. It's more about the process of doing public notice and making sure that what they do is transparent.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ryan, that's correct. I believe that, for example, the requirements to provide these basic parameters on the amount of water, who gets it, how much will cost, who will pay, that doesn't even come into play before the Mexico Unit Agreement has to be signed by November of 2015. That only occurs when they delegate responsibility to the local group. That under the law, the Secretary of the Interior must delegate responsibility to design operations. So before that delegation is made, describe this project, what it looks like. That has to be in the Mexico Unit Agreement anyway. It's a requirement of this pre-negotiated agreement. And then just provide the basic information that would show the public and the legislature that this is a viable concept.
I appreciate that answer.
I want to make one thing really clear. My purpose for bringing this has nothing to do, in my mind, with the outcomes on the Gila diversion. You know, we all have our opinions about that sort of thing. That was not the genesis of this for me. This was brought to my attention. You've heard a lot of other folks behind me talk to the case that I just think there's been a lack of transparency. There were requests for information, some information about the models that were used to generate some of the information that came out. That was not provided. So for me, this is about transparency. This is about good public policy. And that is what's driving this for me. I'm not at all concerned about the outcomes that were decided down there, but that called attention to, in my mind, some of the deficiencies in transparency and process, and that's what I'm attempting to deal with in this bill. Now, if anybody else sees a difference in this, I don't know. That's not where I'm coming from on this. That was not my intent. So I just want to make that clear.
We'll be right back after this short break, and we'll bring you more excerpts from the debate over the bills to bring transparency, disclosure, and public participation to the ISE's Gila River planning process. Don't go away. We're back here on Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM. I'm Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project and the Gila Conservation Coalition, and I'm your host for today's show. Let's get back to bringing you excerpts from the discussions in the Senate Conservation Committee about the bills to bring transparency, disclosure, and public participation to the Interstate Stream Commission's Gila River diversion planning process. So the discussions continued on March 3rd when the Senate Conservation Committee heard a committee substitute bill for the Gila process bills. The substitute combines disclosure requirements from Senator Cervantes' bill into a streamlined process bill sponsored by Senator Rue. The substitute clarifies and simplifies the reporting and transparency requirements that were of concern by a couple members of the Conservation Committee on February 27 that we just heard a bit of in the previous segment. So we'll start out with an introduction of the substitute bill by Senator Sandra Rue and Senator Joseph Cervantes.
And also, the substitute deals with some of the concerns that were raised by the committee members at the last hearing that we were in front of the committee on. So that is, we do have the committee substitute. Mr. Chair, if you would have asked that be.
Okay, so let me move a do not pass on Senate Bills 455 and 542, and we'll move the committee conservation substitute for discussion purposes. So you want to walk us through what this...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll go ahead and lead off and then refer to Senator Cervantes. What this bill would do is it would require public participation, greater transparency and accountability from the Interstate Stream Commission in its expenditures of the Arizona Water Settlements Act federal funding. It would amend and augment the state law passed in 2011, creating the New Mexico Unit Fund that gave the Interstate Stream Commission control over approximately $90 million in Arizona Water Settlements Act funds. The bill also requires the Interstate Stream Commission to adopt rules for transparent consultations with the Gila San Francisco Water Commission. The bill would also require the state engineer as the Interstate Stream Commission secretary to provide public written analysis of each major proposed expenditure from the fund. And finally, Mr. Chair, the bill also establishes requirements for major actions by the Interstate Stream Commission. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll just refer to my colleague.
Yeah, sure. So what we've done is we've taken 455, which I think has really been married into section 2 of the bill on page 5. What this original bill required was that the Interstate Stream Commission provide a written report to the legislature and gave a deadline to demonstrate that the New Mexico CAP entity had the technical, legal, and financial capacity to design, build, and operate a Gila River diversion project for the New Mexico and so I've used some terminology, and I'm sure we're going to use them quite a bit in the discussion, so I'll come back to that shortly. But the Arizona Water Settlement Act designates a New Mexico CAP entity as the owner for the purposes of the UDSM project. And this would simply require that the legislature receive a comprehensive report of some of the criteria, the design, the projected benefits, the projected water to be diverted, produced, or generate need for state appropriation to see a project through the end. So that's what you're seeing in the consolidated version of this bill.
All right, so we did hear public testimony on Senator Rue's bill, but I think in fairness, because we have merged in Senator Cervantes' bill into the back end, we'll go out to the audience on those in staff. Let me say this, do you want to yield to your two? I see Mr. Hutchinson here and Mr. Gom, do you want to weigh in? I'll let you both say a few words.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I would say that we took very seriously the remarks from Senator Ryan and Senator Payne. In this revised bill, there are no procedural hurdles other than the preparation of a report by the Interstate Stream Commission prior to the New Mexico CAP entity, the entity that is put in the forefront by the Arizona Water Settlements Act. There are no procedural hurdles. No rules, just a report requiring disclosure and transparency in the interim before the New Mexico unit agreement will be signed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Howard Hutchinson, and I'm not representing the Gila San Francisco Water Commission nor my usual role as executive director with the Coalition of Arizona and Mexico Counties. And my testimony comes from my history of being involved with the project. I have similar concerns as was expressed by Senator Payne and Senator Ryan concerning the possible delays in the ability for us to meet the requirements of the Arizona Water Settlements Act and making commitments for the Mexico Union should that come to pass. I believe that what has been accomplished here is in the spirit of trying to work together amongst the various proponents. I won't call them proponents and opponents. They have very clear stated positions and I think that this sets up a means for transparency and public participation that is much needed. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So let's go out to the audience. And again, remember, Senator Morales is coming next on Senate Bill 461, which gets into some of the funding issues. I mean, this is a process bill, so I just would ask the audience, focus on the process piece. So those in support of the substitute, we'll start over here.
After the introduction to the substitute bill, the chairman, Senator Peter Wirth, asked for public comment on the bill, and a number of stakeholders stood up and made comment in support of the substitute bill, not only members of the conservation community, but also a representative of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. And then the chairman asked for public comment in opposition to the bill. So we'll bring you an excerpt here from the acting ISC director and general counsel, Amy Haas, where she explains the ISC's principal concerns with the bill. And then we'll hear some of the discussion from Senators Cervantes and Wirth with the ISC's opposition to the bill. And we'll hear that now.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Amy Haas. I am Acting Director and General Counsel of the New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission, and I do appreciate the opportunity to address you this evening. I would respectfully disagree with the characterization of this bill as merely being a process bill. I think there are serious legal issues here, both constitutional and generally, and I'd like to walk through a few of these very briefly with you if I might. On page 4, section 2, paragraph G, this paragraph requires that in advance of the Interstate Stream Commission's consideration of each encumbrance or expenditure of $100,000 or more from the New Mexico Unit Fund, the Secretary of the Commission, who is also the state engineer, shall provide to the Commission his recommendation of expenditures tied to various work elements related to the planning, design, or legal services related or pertaining to a New Mexico unit. I think this requirement will potentially disqualify our state engineer from acting on applications related to the New Mexico unit, and there will be some. There will be an application for storage. There will be, you know, at least one diversion application filed, because the state engineer's quote recommendation on these various work plans exposes him potentially to a change as far as work for these conditions. Also on page 5, moving down to the bottom of the page, if you look at section 2, this adds a section to the existing New Mexico Unit Fund statute. If you turn the page, at the top of the page, to section 2, paragraph A, this new material provides that the Interstate Stream Commission shall designate the Gila San Francisco Water Commission as the New Mexico cap entity for the purpose of signing the New Mexico Unit Agreement. You know, under federal law, under the Federal Arizona Water Settlements Act, the ISC has the exclusive authority to make this designation, not the legislature. So I think that this could potentially violate the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Likewise, Section 2, Paragraph B states that the Interstate Stream Commission shall provide an initial grant of not less than $100,000 from the New Mexico Unit Fund to the New Mexico cap entity. A couple problems with this provision. First, because under the federal act, the ISC, the commission, has the discretion to allocate funds, this flies in the face of that. There's no requirement that any amount of this first tranche of money be designated for this particular purpose. So I think that's very problematic, and I think that that's, again, a supremacy clause issue. And secondarily, this language essentially voids the decision of the commission that it made in November 14 to use all unallocated funds available at the time for the pursuit of a New Mexico Unit Agreement. I think that's a separation of powers issue, and I'm concerned about that.
I think we need to be extremely careful with a state agency sitting in here telling us that they are empowered by the federal government to the point that the Supremacy Clause of the federal Constitution is shielding them from the oversight that we have over this body. And I gotta tell you, that just causes me as a lawyer some serious, serious heartburn. Because quite frankly, we can make this agency go away. We can eliminate the statute that created them. This whole bill, I mean, it's amazing to me what we're talking about. This is a fund that we created. The money that they are using goes through a fund that we created, an appropriation that we made, and we put oversights in this bill already. I mean, we're opening an existing statute that already requires them to report to the Legislative Interim Committee. I mean, again, we're doing that because we have an obligation to do that under the separation of powers. It is our responsibility. It's our oversight role. And I think that's what Senator Rue is talking about. And, you know, I do think this whole discussion took a different turn when last year, I think for the first time, you know, Ms. Haas, I think it was the first time we'd actually heard a statement to the interim committee that yes, in fact, the state may be asked for a big chunk of this money. And so, again, I think that, I mean, I'm sensitive to the legal issues, and I think they're there. I think for us to punt or somehow be scared because we have a state agency that's saying that we're going to violate the Federal Supremacy Clause if we have any oversight over what they're doing, I think would be a big mistake on our part as a branch of government. Again, I think that really we're going to, this is one of those things that's going to come back, and this is going to cost an awful lot of money, and it's a very small amount of water. And I think that we as a body are going to be faced with a situation down the road when there simply The groups that want the 7,500 acre feet are not willing to pay the hundreds of millions, the potentially $1 billion of this cost. And when they come back to us, and just to put this in perspective, I mean, again, I realize this is regional, but it impacts all of us. Because this is money that could be over on the east side. This is money that, you know, quite frankly, the crisis part of the state is below Elephant Butte. And again, this is a huge issue for us as a body. And, you know, we can decide to do what we want, but I just, again, it concerns me that we have, you know, separation of powers and supremacy clause issues being raised. And I think we as a legislative branch need to be careful to make darn sure that we continue to have the oversight that the Constitution, quite frankly, created for us. So, again, it's obviously up to the will of the committee, but I certainly would recommend that we send this to the Judiciary Committee, and I think that it can. We don't need to decide the legal issues here. I think the question becomes, and maybe there's things that can be tweaked again as this moves forward. It's a much better bill today than it was when we heard it before. I mean, that's the course of the process.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Before you conclude, yep. To vote, because I'm a member of the committee, I'd like to participate in the
yep, absolutely.
If I can too. I first of all want to acknowledge the comments by Senator Woods, because nobody appreciates more the Bureau of Reclamation, the diversion projects, which are the Rio Grande project, than I do. Senator, our farm is alongside the Rio Grande. It's bordered we're on the east side of the Rio Grande for a large part of the territory between Las Cruces and Anthony. So I respect that. And you know, Mr. Chairman, Senator, members of the Senate, I never really took a position against the diversion of the Eagle. And the folks that are here that have opposed diversion of the Eagle have been lobbying me for a very long time to get me to make that commitment, and I never made that commitment. I'm smiling at them because they know exactly what I'm talking about. I never made a commitment against diversion of the Eagle. But you know, Mayor Kosenbach said that the Buckman, I guess is what he was referring to, the Buckman was going to cost $90 and it cost $250. I'm reminded of what happened when we had the Pecos fix years ago. I won't take you back through that story again, but what a just bad idea that turned out to be just a fiasco. Right? And you know, and we all remember that settlement. This was the solution. We got the solution on the Pecos, and we ended up spending $100 million. We probably spent more than that, just went around and around in circles, and we haven't really solved anything, or much of anything. So, you know, we make mistakes sometimes, and particularly on water, because it is so complicated and so unpredictable, that when we don't have enough information. And so you're right, Senator Grable, we heard a lot about this last session, and I took some positions on this issue because, frankly, again, I just don't think we have the data. We don't have the information. I don't know the numbers. And I don't want to make the Pecos mistake again. I don't want to make a spaceport mistake. I don't want to make a railroad mistake. Railroad was going to cost, I think, $90 million too. Just kind of interest numbers. I think that ultimately costs $400 or $500 million. So we sometimes forget how much things cost or misproject things. And we're going to be paying in Las Cruces. We're going to be paying for the spaceport for the rest of my life. Unless Senator Nielsen has a buyer, and I've already seen letters of interest. So, but unless he has success, he won't pay for that for the rest of my life. So I just, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add those insights to you, Senator. I didn't have you get the wrong idea that I'm opposed to diversion, but I'm certainly interested in knowing the information and data. And this is a report, it's a draft report. And Senator Ryan, I understand your point, but I think I've been consistent on this committee and throughout the legislature. I like headlines. I understand what you're saying is that, you know, those are scary to agencies and to bureaucrats, and I get that. And I think sometimes it's our job to make the job a little bit precise and say, you know, look, we expect some deadlines and some dates, and nobody's being told anything. If the information doesn't turn out to be perfect or final or whatever, but I think deadlines and dates are good things, and I think that's a realistic date and deadline, particularly because we've got to sign something in November. I think asking a report in August to the legislature, so the legislature can have input, and that report can be revised again. I think those are all very realistic and reasonable timelines. Thank you.
Yeah.
No recommendation.
We've got a motion for a new pass with no recommendation. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gregg, second.
Can I just say something?
Absolutely.
You know, I'll go ahead and recommend that you go on to the judiciary. And we're talking about an agreement, a water agreement, the Arizona water agreement, where the federal government has been involved in this, state government has been involved in this, and now the legislature's getting involved in this, and now we're being told that, you know, we have to deal with the supremacy clause and the separation of powers and all that. At some point in time, if this bill gets through the judiciary, it's going to have to come to the floor. And those of us that have to vote on this have to be comfortable that we're doing the right thing when we vote for something like this on the floor. I understand the accountability and the transparency that everybody here is talking about. You know, I see the cattle growers are here, the dairy farmers are here supporting this bill and all that stuff. But in order for me to vote on something that is as critical as this bill is to the Gila and to the diversion project that we're talking about down there, I need to be comfortable that we are not going to be doing something where we're going to end up wasting all the money that we have to pump into this project in federal court to determine if, in fact, there is a determine that the separation of powers does not apply, that the supremacy clause does not apply. And I agree with what you said, Mr. Chairman, that we created the agency, we can do away with the agency, thus do away with these questions. But is that realistic? I don't know if that's realistic or not. Maybe so, I don't know. But I just want to understand that with the water agreements that we've entered into, the little water agreement that we've entered into, and the issues that we're going, especially in your area, Senator, in regards to water and Texas and all this mess that we're in there, I just need to know that we're good at doing what we're good. And I've got relatives from Silver City and around the Gila and around, you know, that whole area down there who are asking me to vote to support this piece of legislation, and I understand what they're talking about. But with these questions, these legal questions, hanging, you know, we've done so many things like this before, and all the money that we had, we used in courts, and in federal courts, to pay attorneys to, and some of those issues are still ongoing. And so all I want is, I know that something like this has to be done. I just want it to be done right, and I want those of us who, when it gets to the floor, to feel comfortable and say, we did what we needed to do, and now we got to vote it out of the Senate and send it on so that the people that are involved in this issue can move forward and get this stuff done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So we've got a motion and a second. Do you want to call the roll?
Senator Cervantes.
Yes.
Senator Grego.
Yes.
Senator Martinez.
Yes.
Did you say that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Senator Payne.
No.
Senator Ryan.
No.
Senator Scher.
No.
Senator Solz.
Yes.
Senator Woods.
Yes.
Senator Schindel. Senator Wood.
Yes. So by 6-3 vote, you've got to do that. No recommendation.
We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned. We're back here on Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM. I'm Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project and the Gila Conservation Coalition, and I'm your host for today's show. Let's shift gears now and bring you some excerpts from the Interstate Stream Commission's February 26th meeting in Santa Fe. After an hour of discussion and questioning, the ISC approved its staff recommendation to allocate $2.1 million in Arizona Water Settlements Act funding to the Grant County Water Commission Regional Water Supply Project. The ISC had tabled the funding allocation decision on this project at its November 24th, 2014 decision meeting. This project will drill a new well at the Grant County Airport and construct an intercommunity pipeline to serve current and future water needs of 26,000 people in the mining district in Silver City. Water withdrawn from the new well field will be offset by return flow to the aquifer from the wastewater treatment plant, so no net depletion of water from the Mimbres aquifer. Grant County Water Commission Chairman and Silver City Town Manager Alex Brown did a great job presenting the regional water project and answering the very long laundry list of questions from ISC commissioners. Additionally, Senator Howie Morales advocated strongly for this project, citing its critical importance to meeting current and future water needs of Grant County residents, especially Hurley, given its immediate need to secure a water supply once its water contract with Freeport-McMoRan ends in 2018. The approval of $2.1 million of AWSA funding is contingent on demonstrating by December 31st, 2016, that 190 acre-feet of water rights are secured for Hurley. Let's listen.
Item number 8, presentation by Grant County Water Commission regarding the Arizona Water Settlement Act and Grant County Well Field Pipeline.
So getting them on this regional system Will it be quicker in the situation where we have the next second quarter to develop the opposition? Aside from that, as well, they will go to a high-end trench. And the asset to drop the spot. This was last year, they did receive funding to get to do a transmission line from one of our water sources to the servicing supplies water to do that in a secondary source of water. So today, I think is what I'm talking about. And if you have some questions about how we would ensure that the water rights were in the same for the membership, Silver City would be willing to commit those water rights to the Grand Water Commission or their successor. That's important successor because whatever happens, we know that we're going to have to go up to multiple funding sources. And when you get to some of these funding sources, there's issues as far as Silver City will most likely have to pull back and not be involved in the project anymore because of population limits. So that's why we're very successful. Also, if necessary, we would provide a potential lease. We've already got one in place for one of our associations that does not allow for us to put back at any time unless the association relinquishes it. We do need between $9 and $12 million for phase one. And I believe at your last meeting, it was stated that we had a budget of $15 million. We do not have any money for construction right now. I believe that $15 million came from our initial grant application, where we thought the project might cost around $30 million. And we asked for 50% of the total cost of the project, and that's where the $15 million came from. There's a recommendation to give us $2.1 million, and that would cover 70% of the cost. And like I just said, 70% of phase one is 12 to 9 to 12 million is actually $2.1 million. And with that, I would like to answer your questions.
Before
we
go any other questions, we're fortunate to have Senator Howie Morales here, and Senator, I think in the 12 years that I've been sitting up here, this is the first Senator that's come before us. Would you like to say something one way or the other?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members of the Commission, for allowing me the opportunity to come in here, and this is very important to me and the communities I serve. I have to say that I'm very proud to represent the communities that are here today, because historically the work that they've done as local governments to work together for the betterment of all of our people has really been something that I think that other parts of the state and the nation can really, really learn from as well. So I appreciate the leadership that's been done there. I also thank you for having this on the agenda. I know that in the last couple of meetings that it wasn't able to be on the final agenda, so I appreciate that you're taking the opportunity to listen to this. When we're talking about the issues that are being in front of us, you know, this is something that, as you're well aware of, that it benefits every single resident from Grant County. And I think by having this opportunity to do what we have in front of us is really a testament to everyone working together. But I have to be honest, and I have some concerns. Some concerns as far as the process and what's been taking place. To make sure that it's been done in a fair way, and to make sure that my communities have been given the best opportunity to present their case. And, you know, I do have some concerns with that, and I would hope that as you have more discussion and staff can give you some information, I think that would be helpful as you consider what the recommendation would be. Because when the recommendation comes in at $2 million for a project that is much more than that, it really doesn't meet the need of what it is that is trying to be accomplished, and I would hope that you can consider that with all the information that's been presented and all the information that can continue to be presented if you so choose. The thing that I know about my communities is their ability to leverage other funds and their ability to go out of the colonial funds or other type of funds. They're very active and very involved with that. And I have no doubt that with your assistance for that recommendation to be raised, we can meet that need with the leveraging of the funds and working together to make sure that we can do that. And the end result is we have a community like Purdy who benefit for the sustainability of their residents. I we have a regionalized project, which I believe in the state that we are working towards to make sure that more communities are regionally working together for exactly what's in front of you today. So I appreciate the work that you do. I appreciate all the time that you put in. And I understand when you're dealing with issues like you're dealing with, kind of makes our job look a little easy across the street. These are tremendously difficult times and difficult issues, but you're listening to them, and I thank you for this opportunity that this is on the agenda. And if there's any further clarification or discussions that any of you would like, I invite you to meet with me. I'll make some time to meet with you individually to share other concerns that may be there. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to take much more time. I just want to make sure that I am here, that I'm taking time and my commitment to my communities and the impact that this has within all the residents that I serve. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Mark Sanchez, would you restate your motion?
And we can grant $2.1 million in funding to the Grant County Water Commission, subject to the presented and subject to a more detailed plan that this commission must approve before that funding is used, and giving them a date of December 31st, 2016. And certainly it can come before some time before that, and it really should if you can do that.
Okay. The final design for the first phase is scheduled for November of 2015. Okay.
Okay. There was a second. And
Mr. Chairman, quick observation. November we approved a number of projects. This project was tabled. And what I realized today is to put them at the front of the line. What we're hearing today is I don't want to use the word holes, but some shortcomings, at least in this commissioner's mind, relative to details about scope, design, size of pipe, who owns the water. So on one hand, and I think we probably hear from some of the other proposers if they were here today. I mean, they got in here today because they went to the front of the line because we tabled them, and now they're going to come off the table. I share that, and I don't want to slow them down in their effort to secure additional grants and loans for their project. I understand phase one is the hurling because that's the first town the pipeline goes by. And so whether we say it or not, I think we're talking about phase one. And I don't want our contingency language to disrupt a federal agency from saying we're in for this. On the other hand, they're going to have good questions too, many of which we've heard today. So I hope that as this language in this amendment is finalized in its final form, that it sort of say that we're good for the 2.1 for this project, and we look forward to approving the final plan, something like that. We look forward to that's wrong. That in effect we don't spend any money until we see a final plan. There are too many details. They've done an excellent job of trying to address them, but at the same time, I think it makes me feel as though we're short of some answers here that we ought to be asking, and we're not going to get that today. So I don't want to slow them down. I want them to proceed. That's my reason for supporting the amendment with it. Second of all, on the time, we have put that on the other projects because we talked about that and said we just can't leave these open-ended till the end of time. We've got to say to some of these proposers, you need to start the project, whatever the... So that's really a statement, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking forward to supporting the motion.
Motion is a main motion and not an amendment. I understand what I'm doing up here. So, without any further discussion, is there all in favor of the motion? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you for your presentation, and it sounds like we'll be seeing you several times.
We'll be right back after this short break and continue to bring you excerpts from the ISC's meeting on February 26th. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM. I'm Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project and the Gila Conservation Coalition, and I'm your host for today's show. Let's continue to bring you more of the ISC meeting on February 26th. In addition to making a funding decision for the Grant County Water Commission project, ISC commissioners also listened to staff's proposal for implementation of the municipal conservation project submitted to the Arizona Water Settlements Act planning process by the Gila Conservation Coalition. In the interest of full disclosure, I was involved in developing and submitting this project to the ISC. In November, the ISC approved $3 million in funding for the project that ranked the highest of all AWSA projects. However, onerous conditions on use of the funds imposed by ISC staff would make it virtually impossible for small municipalities and water associations to take advantage of the funding. The Gila Conservation Coalition participated in the discussion and presented its recommendations to the ISC on how to remove barriers to implementation of the municipal conservation project. Commissioners approved a motion to, one, remove the requirement for a 30% match and leave the match up to the discretion of the ISC. Also, to fund the projects on a grant basis rather than a reimbursement basis. And finally, to give priority to regional water conservation efforts. Let's listen.
From the municipal sector. Commissioner Sanchez should know, his agency, the Albuquerque-Bernalillo Water Utility Authority, has achieved a 36% decrease in per capita water use since its water conservation program began in 1994. The agency estimates that more than 155 billion gallons have been saved, enough to serve an entire area of population for 4.5 years. Given the success of water conservation efforts in Albuquerque and other communities in New Mexico and elsewhere, and the clear endorsement by this commission of municipal conservation as an important part of meeting Southwest New Mexico's future water needs under the UWSA, I ask you today why ISC staff is not making it easier for the municipalities, water associations, and other water providers to take advantage of this funding. The requirement for a 30% match, no administrative costs can be counted towards match, and funding on a reimbursement basis will significantly limit the universe of applicants taking advantage of this funding. The Gila San Francisco Water Commission agrees with the owner's constraints of access to AWSA funds, and we have a letter in the packet that I need to talk about in a previous agenda item, talked about the letter says, by funding a small fraction of the estimated cost of the approved projects only complicates matters in that these small entities now find themselves with the task of providing additional funding. Most of the project proponents do not have the capacity to fund or even meet match requirements to bring the projects to complete urban construction. So generally speaking, I think the schedule looks reasonable that ISC staff laid out. However, we encourage staff to consider a robust outreach effort to advertise the availability of funds to water associations and water providers in Southwest New Mexico so that they have sufficient time to develop proposals. So perhaps sending a notice to each of the water providers in Southwest New Mexico about the availability of the funds should be done. Also, the draft information sheet developed by staff is not very clear as to what types of conservation projects are fundable. So this needs to be clarified so that people don't spend a lot of time putting together their proposals just to find out that, you know, the project that they had in mind isn't necessarily fundable. And as was said at the November meeting, don't limit the types of water conservation projects that can be funded. The other requirement is that staff requires a water conservation plan. And this is a good idea. The two pilot projects, Silver City and Deming, and they have water conservation plans already. They're big municipalities with larger resources than, you know, most of the water, so small water associations and small municipalities in southwestern New Mexico. But it's unclear whether or not this funding could be used for developing a water conservation plan. So we believe it's an important step in achieving water savings and implementing effective programs. So we hope that this funding could be used for developing water conservation plans. It's an integral part of implementing these projects. So again, I think we shouldn't be putting up barriers to using the AWSA funds. So we need the commission made a decision to fund municipal conservation has increased the amount of funding. So now we need to fully commit to it and don't impede, you know, smaller communities from accessing funding. So what could be done? And these recommendations apply not only to the municipal conservation projects, but also to other non-emergent projects. So lower the match percentage to 10%. Allow for administrative costs of the municipal conservation project to be counted as in-kind. Provide incremental funding of the project as key milestones and deliverables are achieved. So don't wait until the whole entire project is complete before people can be reimbursed for the project.
Allison, I gave you permission to talk about water conservation. The municipal water conservation, not to ramble all over there.
I'm just making these points. They relate to municipal conservation, but they also relate to the other ones. I mean, these are some of the other, these concerns are consistent to both. And then finally, again, fund the development of water conservation plans, since this is a requirement for funding of projects. And that's all I have on municipal conservation. comments.
Thank you. Commission has a motion on the table. Further discussion.
Conservation plans, maybe there is a lot of work having to have individuals do that. Would it be possible for everybody to tie into a regional conservation plan? Because I think that's kind of the discussion that's been going on about doing a lot of regionalization and giving the area affected area or involved area a regional conservation plan would kind of pull everybody in and, you know, they could answer that, I guess, requirement. That's a suggestion.
Any comments? Commissioner Blunt, Mark, thank you.
Can you comment on the match and the reimbursement basis for the funding?
Making a match 30%. And the point is, it says in the clarified in the information page that other funding sources can be used as a match. So if the project is $100,000, they get $70,000 from us. They can get $30,000 in the loan. That is qualified in the second draft that we have. Regarding the reimbursement, the after the recipient of the project of the funding, we would have to write a contract with them, and those reimbursements might happen on a monthly basis. So, for example, they're going to, well, if it's a one-time short project, like repairing a pipeline, then we pay for it maybe 2 months.
It's terminology is no sense. I think you're basically asking municipalities or water providers to go borrow funds to get reimbursed by the state. I mean, you're making a grant to them for a purpose based on a scope of work. So I'd amend my motion to make the match discretionary, but give priority to those who have a higher than a match and not people on a reimbursement basis. I think essentially we're going to have $3 million sitting still not being addressed. And also, I think the land services suggested a regional approach. That should be the priority as well. So I amend that motion that the second one would be there.
The second agreed to his addition to his market.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I agree with it. Commissioner Blaine, did that encompass what you were talking about?
Well, that was, I think there's a comment. I don't know if that's Hollywood factor that in. If we're requiring you to do that.
Says items 9 through 15 are required to be in place. I think from an earlier draft to this draft, I think we added some permissive language that says or in process, and I think that was an excellent addition because I think the smaller the entity, perhaps the higher the bar, and although 9 through 15 are worthy ideas, I was concerned about being a requirement of funding. So I'm prepared to support the motion.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Excuse me. Could you repeat the motion? What is the motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, to adopt the conservation plan as presented, subject to 3 month patience. One is that the match be discretionary and be given a priority. That is not being a reimbursement basis, these grants, subject to conditions, and that regional projects be given a priority.
Second. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 13, report of the HELA committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The HEMA committee met via telephone conference on February 3rd, 2015, and discussed potential joint powers agreement for the New Mexico CAP. The committee did not take action or engage in policymaking at the meeting.
According to the ISC's approved schedule, the agency will accept project proposals from April through August of this year. Application information will be posted on the ISC's website by March 6th, and we'll make this information available on the Gila Members Community Radio Station website at gmcr.org. We hope that Water Association, Silver City, Deming, and other water providers in southwestern New Mexico will apply. This is a great opportunity. That's all the time we have today. A very special thank you this week to our hard-working audio engineer, Kyle Johnson. We hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio 89.1 FM.